How many came to be ministered unto today? You came here to be ministered unto, correct? It's not a trick question. It really is. We came to be ministered to. And then read this with me. Verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. What is the difference between being ministered unto and ministering? Like, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but he came for what reason? To minister. So I think both are in our life. We come to be ministered unto, to receive, but then the other part is important. We came to minister. And what does it mean to minister? Jesus was saying it this way. You don't have to give me money to make me happy. You don't have to give me a position. You don't have to make me feel important. You don't have to stroke my flesh, make me feel happy. You don't have to celebrate me or pay attention to me. You don't have to minister to me. I came to minister to you. Isn't that amazing? Now, sometimes, to be honest, when I go somewhere, I would like somebody to pay attention to me. I would like them to know my name or help me, or especially if it's my birthday. I really want a cake and I want some, you know, attention, and everybody's singing happy birthday around me, right? Like, that's normal. But when you are born again, when you are saved by God's grace and the Spirit comes into your heart and you learn to receive from God, he fills your cup. And when your cup is full, it overflows. And you're not sensitive about how you're treated, but you are happy to be there to serve others. What could I do for you? Whose birthday is it today? We could serve you. What could I say to you? Now, much of ministry is beyond the human ways of just being nice or polite. Ministry is also salty. It's also very kind, compassionate, edifying. And when Christ came, he came to do this, and he did it. He did it in many ways. And so with you, really. And I know you know this, and you're learning it, because the Spirit teaches us. It is a blessing to be able to give, to be able to care. It is amazing, and we're all learning it. But the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. How could we say that? We already said it, but let's see. What did the Lord need when he came? What did he need when he came? He needed the Father. That's it. He just needed the Father to speak to him and lead him. I mean, he could turn rocks into bread. He could do any number of things, but he pleased the Father. And through the Father, there was a donkey ready for him when he entered Jerusalem. Through the Father, there was the many, many miracles and words, and he paid attention. He was up in the morning. He was living in faith. He was crucified on the cross because he came, not for himself, but he came to minister. And he said to the thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He said, "Also, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And many other expressions of ministry. Same with you and me. We have found a new life, a life of giving, a life of listening, a life of caring. It's amazing. So just by way of just an exercise of faith, would you stand with me, please, and just say to your neighbor, good to have you here today. May God bless you. May God bless you today. Okay, now turn in your Bibles to Isaiah while you are standing. Thank you. And I heard recently one man listening to the message was healed. His body was healed. And he called up and said, just by listening, God healed me. And I've heard of that happening in the past. When we hear the word and the Lord speaks. So this is Isaiah chapter 61 in our subject today is rejoicing in Christ Jesus. That's our message this morning. Rejoicing in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. Would you read it out loud, please? 1, 2, 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Well, I got to do it one more time, please. Verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them, well, listen, beauty for ashes. Say that with emphasis. Beauty for ashes. Turn to your neighbor and say, beauty for ashes. Okay, the next part. The oil of joy for mourning. Again, the oil of joy for mourning. Oil of joy. Say it to your neighbor. The oil of joy for mourning. Are you sad today? Christ came to give joy, oil of joy for mourning. And the third one, the garment of praise. Praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Ask your neighbor, do you have a garment of heavy, you know what I'm saying. You get it right. All right, do you have the spirit of heaviness? Do you have the spirit of heaviness? Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Praise, okay. Lord, we pray for this message this morning. Light in our hearts. Lord, in the faith, we are God's people and God's happy people. We are God's people, saved people, redeemed people, anointed people, anointed with joy for the garment of actually, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In Christ's name, thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Turn to Philippians 3, please. I want you to see three things in this verse, Philippians 3. I do think that it is a time in life where people can be burdened, and also oftentimes unnecessarily burdened by worries that Jesus said in Matthew 6, you shouldn't be worrying about those things at all. There are things that we worry about that we should not be worrying about at all. Let's say that again. Actually, I think I could say that all morning. There are things where we should not be worrying about them at all. At all. Not at all. Let me say it again. Because there are things we worry about. We should not be worrying about them at all. Not at all. It's like almost none of our business. There are things that we get involved with. It's not even like, don't even, you can't even change it. You cannot change it. You worry about it. You're occupied with it. And it is a garment of, I'm sorry, it is a spirit of heaviness that comes upon us. And Jesus becomes very small in life. Let me say that again. Jesus is not that. I don't see clearly who Jesus Christ is. That's why we come to the church. So God, please show us in a fresh way who Jesus Christ is, that we would rejoice in him a lot. Rejoice in Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, and we'll just use this text, just only verse 3, we are the circumcision. Well, if you know your New Testament, you know that Paul said circumcision means nothing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. That's not needed. But what is he talking about? But a circumcision of the heart, Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. You know, a circumcision, literally in Orthodox Judaism, is cutting the flesh. But the real meaning of being Jewish is not my flesh being circumcised, it is my heart being changed. My ears being circumcised, my lips being circumcised. That's really what is needed in our life, because otherwise we are the same as everyone else. But because of our new birth, now we are circumcised, most importantly, in the most profound meaning, a changed heart. And he explains there are three things there in verse 3, which worship God in the Spirit. Remember the woman at the well? Christ said, you worship, but you don't know what. God said to the Jews, they worship me in vain. Away with their blood sacrifices, away with their animal sacrifices. It doesn't touch me. Their solemn assemblies mean nothing to me, in Isaiah chapter 1. But when he came, he talked to the woman at the well and said, the Father seeks such that worship him in spirit and truth. Well, we have the Holy Spirit in our life now because of our new birth, and now we worship God in the Spirit. Might be in a church service, well, definitely in a church service like this, by the way, for anybody that is ministering, like our brothers here and abroad, like they watch this in India and other parts of the world. This is a good word for pastors. Your ministry is not only by words, like intellectually or by words, you know, just your message, not even a very good Bible message. It's not, the ministry is more, it is spirit. Do you minister to people in the Spirit? Is the anointing in the assembly are people being touched in the Spirit. They may not even understand what you're saying, but they know that there's a connection between you and God, and you're ministering to them in the Spirit because you have a prayer life in the Spirit. You have a brokenness in your life. You have a humility that is happening in the Spirit. You have love that is in the Spirit. You have a wisdom that is from the Spirit, and you have a ministry in the Spirit. You could have a very theologically sound grace message, but have a spirit that is not the Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? You could, if your man is Spirit-filled, he could teach on the Ten Commandments, and you'd be so edified. If he's not Spirit-filled, he could teach on grace, and you're still not edified. God's ministry is in the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? It's the anointing of God that breaks the yoke. It's the Spirit of God that we drink. It's the Spirit of God that we can tell with each other in the Spirit, in the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:13. In general terms, is that church edifying? Is the presence of God at the doorway when they come in? When we sit together and we are just fellowshipping, is it freedom or is it legalism? Is it judging or is it forgiving? Is it gracious or is it hard? Is it personality or is it spirit? Isn't that amazing? Okay, verse 3. We are the circumcision which worship God in spirit. We cry, Abba, Father, in the Spirit, Daddy, in the Spirit, intimacy, tears. When I think of tears, I also think of that, you know, when the eye moistens, not water running down the cheeks that may be, but even just the eye moistens because it touches you and you cry a bit, you weep, you're broken. That's also tears, when your heart is touched, when God ministers to you and somebody's life touches you, you could weep. You are touched in God. We need it. So first point of chapter 3, verse 3, worship God in the Spirit. Wow. You don't have to have a lot of people. You just need God in the meeting. Amen? It can be a few people, but God is in the meeting, and you drive home like, whoa, that was amazing. But if you're familiar, like in the ministry, it can happen. We do things automatically. It cannot happen. There has to be something deeper going on in our heart and in our spirit. We cannot be familiar with what it is that we do. Every person is precious. Every relationship is valuable. Every new believer is precious before God. Our mission is important. What God has for us here in the city of Baltimore, the state of Maryland, what God is doing in our country, everything seen through the Spirit of God. We are those that worship God in the Spirit. We are those that are focused on what you can't see. We are focused on the invisible. We are focused on things that normal people are not looking at. We are looking at things that are in the Spirit. We are looking at the big picture through God. We are worshipers of God in the Spirit. Like John getting close to Jesus at the Last Supper, putting his head on the chest, and the Lord said, one of you will betray me. And they said three answers. Lord, is it I? Master, Judas said, Master, is it I? And then John said, who is it? You see here the difference in the sentences? Judas said, Master. He didn't call him Lord. He said, Master, is it I? The other disciples said, Lord, is it I? What is it? What is it? It is subjective. Maybe it's me. Maybe I will betray you. Maybe it's me. But John, who's close to the Lord, is saying objectively, more objectively, Lord, who is it? He didn't say, is it me? Like we all normally do. Like one of you is wrong. Yeah, it's probably me. One of you is weak. Yes, it's yes, you're right. One of you betray me. Yeah, probably. Is it me? When you get close and you're in the Spirit, you get to see things more objectively and you say, who is it? You're not thinking of yourself primarily. You're thinking of something more important. What is God doing? What is God's plan? Where is it all going? The world is not about you and I. It's about Him, what He's doing. God is here and His plan, and we are in it, hallelujah. But it's like great to rejoice in Him and get turned around and understand the joy of following Him and knowing Him. Number two here in verse 3, worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus. Very simply, this happened to me the other day and I felt to preach on it. I started to just get absorbed with the whole idea of Christ Jesus. I just got so occupied with this amazing person. We do all the time anyway, I know that, or we do in some measure. I know that we are believers. I know that we have high priority on Him. But this was a little different. This was something where the Spirit was saying, rejoice in me. Do you understand that this is about me? I am the primary one. I am the one at the center of it all. We sang that. I am the one that makes the difference. I am the object of your worship. I am the one that you get occupied with me. Rejoice in me, in Christ Jesus. We had a Wednesday night message here on seven skinny cows eating seven fat cows and staying skinny. How many of you would like to be one of those cows? Well, we know cows don't eat cows. It was Pharaoh's dream. But these cows, seven fat cows, ate seven skinny cows, ate seven fat cows. And they stayed skinny. And we said, that is like the world. The world will eat and eat and eat, but not be nourished. They will eat and eat and go from one event to another event and still stay skinny. They will do all kinds, even build cities like Cain did when he murdered his brother. He went out and built a city. But was he satisfied? Did it feed him? There's a lot of feeding going on that is not really feeding. There's a lot of food out there, but it's not really food. It doesn't really change us. There's a lot of entertainment, and we appreciate it, and there's a beautiful place for that in life. I mean, we all know this. I'm not saying that, but I am saying when you are building your life on the NFL or a restaurant or a ladies' flower club, or the car you drive, or the clothes you wear, or the reputation you need, or the importance of your name, or whatever it might be in this world, or the towers that you and I build. When we are staking our life on that, then we are skinny cows eating fat cows that can't change our cowdom. I just made that up. Can't change us. Doesn't mean much. But I want to say, listen, and you know this, when Jesus comes into your life and you get that, the Holy Spirit shows you Jesus Christ and you love him. You read about him in the Gospels and you follow him. You're riveted, paying attention to his toughness, and then you love his compassion. And then you see his radical words, that are nearly frightening, but that you're curious about it. And you say, God, is there something in that that I don't see, and that you're calling me beyond myself? And the Lord says, yes, come, learn of me. I am the one that you're looking for. I will satisfy you. You will rejoice in me. Really. A big, hearty, strong rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Jesus. You'll say his name. I met a truck driver once and I said, how'd you get saved? He said, in prison. I said, what's the big thing that changed in your life? He said, I have peace. And I said, like, tell me about that. He said, I drive the truck and I just say the name of Jesus all day long. I say Jesus when I'm driving the truck, Jesus Christ, Jesus. I love him. He said, I love him. He's given me peace. I just love, like I'm different. He had all tattoos and, I mean, he was a guy from a tough part of life, but no problem. Beautiful. Beauty for ashes. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Heaviness, go away. We don't need you around here. Heaviness, go away. Let me read a quote. Is really a natural trend to lapse into taking oneself gravely because it is the easiest thing to do. This is G.K. Chesterton. It is the easiest thing to take yourself seriously. Like that's the natural thing to do. Everything is so serious. My life is serious. How I live is serious. The things I own, that is serious. What people say to me, that is serious. What they don't say to me, that is serious. It is the easiest thing to do. And then he said, for solemnity flows out of men naturally, but laughter is a leap. Laughter is a leap. Have you ever noticed it? That sometimes when people get you laughing, like it's kind of ridiculous and that is funny. Something is kind of twisted and that is funny. And somebody's able to laugh at themselves and we laugh with them. The time when you're standing in the bank line and nobody's in front of you but you're daydreaming. And you just realize, and somebody nudges you and just says, so, will you be paying attention? I never pay attention. I'm living in la-la land, okay? That's the way I am, all right? Thank you. You know, if you take yourself seriously, life is serious, every problem is serious, then how do you get rid of the spirit of heaviness when God is there with a garment of praise and beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, the sadness that we embrace by nature. Now, listen to the quote. He goes, solemnity flows out of men naturally, but laughter is a leap. It is easy to be heavy, hard to be light. Satan fell by force of gravity. That last statement isn't theologically proven, but I would like to say Satan got so occupied with himself and his self-importance that he fell from heaven by his own weight. I don't think so. I think he was cast out of heaven by God. But I also would like to say, people go to hell by their own weight. That means, no, they go to hell by their sin. I know. But I do think there's some relevance in the thought. And that is, maybe my own worst enemy is myself. My self-importance. How serious everything is. When God said, I gave you my Son, and by the Spirit of God, you rejoice in him. And when you get a glimpse of who he is, all that stuff kind of gets in its right perspective, and you can say, who cares? I've got Jesus Christ as my Savior. Who cares, really? At the end of the day, is that really going to matter? You know, I lived with somebody who was very particular about everything, and the window was open 6 inches. And I just, you know, moved it a little bit, and they go, who moved that? Who moved the window? You know, they get the measuring tape out and just say, now, who did that? Listen, I don't mind that. That's a fine characteristic of that person. I'm not against it. But when it's too important, we lose the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's the way it is. The main thing in your life and mine is to keep the main thing the main thing. And rejoicing in Christ Jesus is part of it. Because how could we ever live this life and miss him? How tragic that we would live this life and miss the importance of him and his presence in our lives. What he did, who he is, it's big what God did for us. It's big. But my own gravity, you know, gets my focus on myself and my things, and I miss what is really happening. Jesus has done it. He redeemed us, washed us, washes our feet, preaches to us every day. He would open this book. We could see him. He would open the book, give us words, and our hearts would burn within us. He'd get us straightened out, help us get that compass that we need in this life. He would help us. He'd lead us. He'd give us an adventure of faith. Walking on water, he'd say, come. Peter, it was Peter's idea. Peter said to Jesus, call me. What a radical, what a awesome Pastor Shibeli thing to do. Call me, Lord. And the Lord said, come on. And out he goes. An adventure of faith to kind of give me the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Have you ever spent an afternoon with yourself and were disappointed? Well, I'm going to have the whole afternoon with myself. It's like, you know, don't count your chickens before they hatch. Might not turn out so great. But what about this? I got myself and Jesus Christ and what he has to say to me, what he is doing, what he ministers to me. We have the mind of Christ and we can spend a lot of time with him by ourselves, even in a nursing home, in a prison cell, in a hospital, or as the Apostle Paul and Silas, they were singing at midnight in Acts 16. It doesn't explain. It just said they started to sing and praise God, and then it happened. Well, I don't need the prison to shake. I just need my garment of praise to take away my spirit of heaviness. I don't need the doors to swing open on my house or I don't need that. What I need is a door to swing open in my heart. I need Jesus to get more clear in my eyes and more prominent in my decision making and in my desires. When Jesus is there, it's hard to cheat and steal and lie when Jesus is right there before you. When Jesus is with you, it's harder to live in sin and live in our stuff than when He's there giving us this joy, rejoicing in Christ Jesus. He's our teacher, our priest, our pastor. He's our vine, our rock. He's our captain. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's altogether beautiful. He's the one I need. I need to make a big deal about Him. Quiet my soul down. I make a big deal about Him, and the Holy Spirit will be right there saying, I will show you the Son of God. I will put your head on His chest, and you will see the bigger thing and know what I am doing, and you are the disciple that I love. John said, I am the disciple that Jesus loved five times. Because again, he was objective, understanding that Christ came for him and that Jesus loved John. And John is a good example of rejoicing in Christ Jesus. And the third and last part of that verse, isn't that verse great, verse 3? We have it on the screen there. And have no confidence in the flesh. See, we got the first part. We're circumcised to love God, not in our flesh, but in our heart, our lips, our ears. And we worship God in the Spirit. We spoke about that. We're worshiping God in the Spirit, have rejoicing in Christ Jesus. I mean, a real big, hearty rejoicing in Christ Jesus. What's your problem? I don't know. I'm rejoicing in Christ Jesus. What's going on in your life? Oh, I know the regular stuff, and I'm responsible and everything, but I'm not so much engulfed in it. I'm rejoicing in Christ Jesus, and He is making my life a lot easier than if I took myself too seriously. If I take myself too seriously, Jesus is second, I am first. I can't believe what they said to me. I can't believe how they ignored me. I can't believe this is happening to me. Why, God, are you doing this to me? And what is going on? And I'm going to get angry about this, God, and you know exactly what it is that I'm talking about. And the Lord goes, you know, you got to lighten up. You got to just lighten up. You got to come on. I mean, really? Like you are ruining yourself by your whole thing about your absorption with yourself. I could point to a million people that are in much worse situations than you are, and they are living every day happy, and they're not even believers. Even unbelievers are happier than you are. Unbelievers are just taking it light and just going with whatever's happening. And you ask them, and they go, I don't know. And they're that's the way they are. There's nothing there. Okay. That's it. Third point and last one. We have no confidence in our flesh. I got to repeat that over and over again. Believe me. I mean, I have not done anything. I've not done anything worthwhile or has any value and meaning in it except that which God, by His grace, has done by His Spirit that glorifies His Son. And you and I can all say this. None of our life has been because of our great sincerity, great honesty, great power, great strength, great gifts of talent or intelligence or abilities or whatever it is. None of my life has any meaning except that which is the consequence of His great grace that He does that glorifies His Son. You know, we've all met these dear people in society who works on it. You know, I can do it. I can get it done. I'm an expert. I got training in it. And they do. They get it done. They do great things. They do. They conquer cancer. They build amazing automobiles and spacecraft. They build huge cities and civilizations and all of this. They do. And they, yeah, we can do that. They have confidence in their flesh. And that's fine. I mean, that's the way they live. But we have found another way. We have found that God can give me the understanding and that I can praise God for what He does in me and through me. And He may give me the idea in a science lab where I get the answer to a problem like Daniel did in Persia or Joseph did in Egypt. That I will say, oh, you know, and then you go to bed and you feel, God showed me something. I got the answer to that problem. Honestly, I honestly believe the Holy Spirit is giving me the mind and the understanding, and I'm doing this, and I'm not saying it as my flesh. I'm saying that God is helping me, leading me, and showing me. How to build a house. Some of you tradesmen do it. How to solve a plumbing problem, an electric problem, build a house, relate with your boss at work. God is able to show us how to live, how to avoid evil, how to build, how to be educated, understanding, aggressive, loving, compassionate. We have no confidence in our flesh, but we have a lot of joy and peace and wisdom in Him. That's it. That's amazing. That's it. Isn't that amazing? Let me say it again. We're just going to finish. Listen. What was it? Three things. Beauty for ashes. Here's a pile of ashes, Lord. I lived my first years. Here's my pile of ashes. There it is. Lord, just thank You for the ashes. I'll give You beauty for ashes. By My grace, I give You beauty for ashes. Lord, what about my heaviness that I have in my life? I'll give You a garment of praise. You'll learn to sing and worship and know Me and lift Me up and put Your eye on Me and lose Your life and trust Me in every area of your life. Come on, trust Him in every area. Come on, lose your life. Give it up to Jesus Christ. What's more important, your life or Him? And follow Him. Leave it alone. Drop it. Come on. Give your whole life up to Him and trust Him. And He will fill you with the Holy Spirit. And then what happens? You rejoice in Him. Jesus is here. And He did it. And no confidence in the flesh. Amen.